Ramadan AM.
Ramadan AM. Now, schools are set to open as of the 1st of June, allowing students to return in a phased-in approach of continuing effort to contain the spread of the coronavirus. Classes will start nationally for students from grades 7 to 12, the final years of junior and senior schools respectively. Basic Education MEC, or rather Minister Angie Motshekga, said in a televised address on Tuesday. Now, schools have been closed since March the 27th, when the government introduced a nationwide lockdown to slow the pace of COVID-19 infections. We've received mixed reactions, most of the parents messaging us saying that they don't want to send their children to school, they don't feel safe, and you know, the statistics at this point in time, in the Western Cape alone, we are on 11,262. But to unpack all of this for us, Professor Aslam Fattah, he is the Vice Dean in the Education Faculty at Stellenbosch University. Professor Aslam, alaikum and shukran so much for joining us.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Prof, I believe that you had a meeting with principals from various schools in the Western Cape, you know, where you presented some principles that could be used to prepare for the phased in, you know, of the reopening of schools. Could you just take us, you know, through the key issues that were addressed?
All right, shukran, mashallah. I think firstly what I need to say is to be clear about the government's intention with opening of schools. The question is, why is government insisting on opening schools in these very, very difficult times under the coronavirus, right? And so the answer to that is that I think that the government wants to save a semblance of the year. In other words, it wants to get people through the year, they must be assessed, and then they must then be passed on as a result of that assessment into the next year. Right? Mm. So in other words, saving the year means now using the time that's left of the year after we've lost about 10 weeks to save the year in particular kinds of ways. Right? So if you accept that that is the government's premise, you now have to make a decision. Do you try to become part constructively of that conversation, or do you stand along the sidelines and become part of the critics who do? Now, I am neither here nor there, although I think that whatever is going to happen in our society, we've got to become involved in understanding how we do this going forward. Now, the big question are our children safe when they go to school, right?
Yeah.
And the point that I made was to say a couple of things. Firstly, if we can secure and cleaned and sanitized environments, then parts of our school classes can go to school. But the big question is if and can we do it. If we cannot ensure that our schools are safe, clean, secure and sanitized, then our children should not go to school. That is the first rule. The second rule is if we can secure the behavior needed for social distancing, the reduction in classes, making sure that people walk in lines at a 1.5 meter gap from each other, making sure that people have masks, personal protective equipment, our teachers are equipped, and so on and so forth. If we can secure that, then we can get into a situation where we can consider sending the grade 7s and the grade 12s back into school. Thirdly, what are we going to do with them when they are in school? Are we going to deliver that matric curriculum right through so that they're right at the end of the year? My answer to that was to say that is highly unlikely. The kids are going to come to school traumatized. They're going to be in need of psychosocial support, and that is going to have to take precedence. I want to introduce the word of a teacher pedagogy, teacher teaching of care. But that is key and not the curriculum.
Right, right. Now, you know, and to talk about the safety of the learners and the educators, and I know you've touched a little bit on that as well, you know, but in terms of, I think what scares the parents the most is that, you know, teachers are going to be seen as policemen, and what's going to happen, you know, if the kids get sick or they're back at work, etc., and they're just leaning towards the fact that they don't want to send their children to school, because it obviously would be a daily procedure, you know, for teachers to sort of sanitize, making sure the temperatures are okay, and that in itself. I just spoke to the minister yesterday morning, and I said, well, that is an administrative nightmare if you expect educators to do that as well.
Right, indeed. It is an administrative nightmare. The question is, can it be done? The second question is, how should it be done?
Yeah.
And so if you can answer the question of can and how it can be done, then you can begin to understand as a parent whether my school is taking the necessary precautions. So in other words, the teachers will be expected to become counselors. They will be expecting to become health screeners and maybe even health distribution into the health system. They will have to look after the health of our children and so on and so forth at a local school in, say, Heidelberg. Can all of those measures be put into place at that point there, right there? The SMTs of schools, the principals of schools must answer that question, and the parents and governing bodies must be on board in the answering of that question. That must then be clearly communicated if it's true or not. If they come to that point where they say, actually, you know, we cannot secure it, we need another week in order to clean the schools, in order to sanitize the schools, in order to get our protective equipment, to get our masks and so on, then we have to say at that local level to the Minister, Debbie Schaefer, whom I listened to yesterday, we need another week. Mm. And so the next week we're going to do A, B, C, D, and E, and come the next week the conditions will be put in place where the grade 12s and grade 7s will go to school. Remember, grade 12s and grade 7s, they will be divided into smaller groups. They will be redistributed into more venues. The teachers will be more teachers at smaller groups, and then the rest of the and so on. And so the numbers should be manageable, and that is possibly the case. But everyone has to be part of a rational decision-making process around the question, are schools ready?
Yeah, and also, I mean, you know, they were talking about the nutrition program at school, etc. And we're thinking, obviously, about the importance of addressing this issue of the food crisis. How important is it, you know, for schools to also have their ducks in a row regarding these schemes that are being run at certain schools?
That is an extremely important consideration, because in about 40% of our schools in the Western Cape, the kids get their meal, a solid, nutritious meal at school, right? And so what the government is saying is that the school can become a portal for the distribution of food, and that is correct, right? However, that must be thrown into the pot, because it doesn't mean that because the school becomes a food distribution point, therefore the school should open. It means that we have to ask questions about how we can distribute food, even if the schools aren't open and so on and so forth. So even that must be thrown in. For example, at about 15% of Western Cape schools, we have to secure water. Yeah. Schools do not have sanitization and water supply generally at that school. We've also got to secure water, because sanitization requires water. Another thing, if at poor schools, which is about 60% of the schools in our area, those schools have to be cleaned. The cleaners, which is basically one or two cleaners, they don't have SGB trained cleaners such as at middle class schools. Those cleaners are going to come in because they're often older, they often also have comorbidities, they may not even be there. Who are going to clean the schools, right? Yeah, I was saying to the principal, listen, you cannot sit on your backside and wait for government, if they're weak, they're not going to be there this time around. You've got to start mobilizing your community, parents, families, come and clean one classroom once a week type of thing. It is that kind of local mobilization that we need. And I'm afraid that we don't understand it like that. We're sitting on the back foot and waiting for this disease to outdefine our behavior. Yes, the disease is defining how we should behave, but we've got to co-define it to say, this is how we're going to actively try and mitigate what the disease is trying to do to us.
Yeah, and I want to go to my WhatsApp line quickly that came in from 0237. It says, salam guys, I just wanted to know if you could please ask the professor, you know, if it would be then advisable to either have a doctor or a nurse at every school then.
Well, that's absolutely would be, but that's not possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are many teachers who are trained in healthcare, right?
Like
and
first aiding.
And our parents in the communities also have levels of healthcare. Like, for example, I did a first aid course
right.
about 20 years ago, and I understand the basics of first aid. I'm sure you did some of that as well.
Mm.
We've got to become here healthcare workers in the broad sense, people who care,
yeah.
people who have some health principles, people who can be trained to do basic screening, to do basic measurement of temperatures and referring to doctors and so on. So we don't have enough doctors. We would have loved to have doctors in school. So that's not going to happen. What is the next step? We've got to find ways of using the health information and literacy amongst ordinary people and put it to use, and then move them into doctors and into the hospitals, into the clinic system and so on and so forth.
Right. Now, Prof, I've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, you know, and I would love to also get your comment on whether or not the Western Cape in itself, being the epicenter of this pandemic, you know, 11,262 cases have been reported thus far. You know, is the Western Cape in a position to say that we are ready to even phase it in?
That's a very, very, very big concern. It looks like the Western Cape has spiked. And some of the reasons for it, maybe that we're testing more. But the question is, we also spiked severely in death rates and so on. We have much more deaths as well. So that's a very big question. The question is, once again, localization. So what we need in a district, like say the Winelands around Stellenbosch University, or like the Cape Metro in various pockets, in the city center where it's flaring, in Khayelitsha and Mitchell's Plain where it's beginning to flare and so on, we've got to have information about that. And if it shows the epidemiology of the disease, shows in particular localized areas that it's flaring there, we should say in those areas that actually we should either be much more cautious in opening schools, or we should not open schools. By the way, the Western Cape may or may not still be enforced in level 4 lockdown. I don't think so. I think that the province is going to be also downgraded like the rest of the country to level 3, and then there are going to be localized pockets identified in the city and in the metro and so on, and they may come under a stricter closure and so on and so forth. Question: problem is that we are in a province that's seeing a flare up in infections, and that should really focus the minds of people who decide which schools open, which don't.
Then also, you know, a lot of questions that also came through, you know, onto our platforms is that parents came forward. They want to know because they're not comfortable sending their children to school, because I think there wasn't, you know, sort of a solid plan. And obviously this created panic, you know, for these parents. And they want to know, is it from a legal perspective, in your opinion, Prof, you know, can they just decide to keep the kids home?
Well, they can by following a particular regulation. That the South African Schools Act, as amended, makes provision for homeschooling, right? And so if you want to opt your child out, then you have to apply for the homeschooling option officially. You've got to complete some forms, you've got to get permission. Mm. But that means that you have to educate your kid at home.
Yes.
Right? So it's not an easy situation. You can't just leave your kid, take a kid out of school and leave them at home. Because education in some way, according to this legislation, has to go on. Right? And it's on that basis that you can remove your kid legally. Right? So people can exercise that option. I think, and I don't want to encourage this, but I think when people are scared and when people are intimidated by what may or may not happen at school, they are going to leave their children at home without the regulations. And I think we've got to be very careful when we do that, but we also have to understand why kids do that, why children do that at that point. And then the department also has to understand why and not be krachtdadig and punish people for doing that, but to enter into a continuous conversation about what the options are on the table and when and how people will be able to return safely and so on and so forth. Also, parents must be capacitate themselves with the information to make decisions about whether it is safe or not. And if it is not safe, what parents can do at that school with the school and principals and S&Ts to make that particular school. So we are in that space where we don't know the answers, but the question of cooperation and working together becomes of paramount importance at this time.
Right. Now, Prof, also just, you know, you said that they need to be, you know, empowering themselves as well. But if you are making a decision to keep your children at home and to do homeschooling, you are not a qualified teacher. So you need to empower yourself in that way as well and set the time aside to actually teach your children the way it's supposed to be taught as well. Right.
Exactly. So there are no good answers to your choice, right? If you make the homeschooling choice, it has implications for yourself. Now, what are you doing? Do you have to go to work? Do you have the capacity? Can you actually teach your kid at home and so on? So make those decisions with your eyes open. It's not easy. Nothing is going to be easy here. And so, but tie your camels and inform yourself about what the best options are relative to your capacity in your home.
Prof, we're going to have to leave it there. Shukran so much for your time. Professor Aslam Fattar, the Vice Dean in the Education Faculty at Stellenbosch University. Always lovely chatting to you.